Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Friends Church. Okay, so I want to set up, announce the offering, and we do it differently, and so every time one of us gets up that hasn't done this very often, we get it mixed up. We do it now electronically, so those people that consider Friends Church their home or that want to donate to the cause of Friends Church and what we're doing around here, they can donate online. You can go onto our website or you can do it through our Friends Church app. If you don't have that yet, you can search for it. That's it there. And you can also give at the back through with a charitable offering envelope. You can throw your thing in there and put it in the black box. We can deal with it there. I just want to say thank you to all of you that give financially to support Friends Church. You're like, really? We have a generous community, a tribe here that believes in what we're doing. We're grateful. Thank you for doing that. I want to announce an upcoming series that we're doing in a couple weeks. It's a two-part series, 2 weeks. And it's called How to Living a Meaningful Life. In our business, as a pastor, we end up performing a number of funerals every year. It's kind of part of the job. And there's always this thing that happens through that process. You watch it in the people that are sitting out in the crowd as the funeral ceremony happens. Stories are told, tributes are made, people talk about the way a person's life was lived, the impact that that person had, the legacy that they left. And you can feel it. You watch it in people's lives, but you hear it in the stories afterwards, but people start indirectly reflecting on their own life as they're mourning the loss of this person. They start thinking about what is going to be said at my funeral? What would the lasting impact of my life be? Now, I don't know about you, but I find many of my weeks kind of running into the next. It's just like kind of hanging on from about late on a Sunday evening right through until Saturday. And it's like, whew, got through that one. And you're just kind of, I need a breath, and then boom, into the next week. And you run a week like that, and then again, and then again, and then all of a sudden, my kid is celebrating his 18th birthday, and I'm going, what the heck? That was just yesterday, man. We were teaching how to ride a bike. And then, before you know it, it's like another chapter, another era ends. And then another era ends. And you look back and you go, oh man, life is flying. And I'm just kind of in this window right now where I'm just looking back at, what is my life really amounting up to? And some of you will feel that way. Some of you will be young right now and you haven't felt the gravity of it yet. We're taking 2 weeks to just get your head up out of the clouds, to get it out of the grind, the everyday grind, to ask some deep questions about what is your life really about? And what are you hoping to leave? And if anything, to just ratchet up the level of intentionality of your everyday choices and decisions to lead to something that you're going to look back and go, yeah, that's what I want my life to be about. So 2 weeks, we're going to start that up in 2 weeks. 2 week series in 2 weeks.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to Friend Church. This whole series is about chaos, right? And we can tell that you guys have a lot of chaos in your life, because when we moved the chairs by about 4 degrees, some of you were losing your minds. I can't take this. And next time we want to do this, instead of moving the chairs, we're just going to order like lots of snow the day before, so you guys all have to trudge through the snow. Isn't that brutal out there? Actually, I love it. It's okay. I think I could probably invite every one of you up here and tell you a story of chaos, or tell your story of chaos. It's interesting as I look. Jerry's back there, double lung transplant. Chaos? What do you mean? Everything's normal, right? But everyone's got a story of chaos. Sometimes they're big, sometimes they're little. Sometimes it happened a long time ago. Sometimes some of us are in the middle of it. Just met a little guy. He's probably like a week and a half old back there. Ari. His parents are in chaos, right? Yeah. I asked, so is he sleeping through the night already? She's looking at me like, you're an idiot, Clausen. So today I want to start by sharing a story of chaos from my life. And this is just my story, but just to kind of set the tone. And as I'm talking about my story, I want you to think about your stories of chaos. Because it's interesting, as I look through the crowd and I see each of you and I know your stories, I'm going, oh yeah, chaos, 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 chaos. Mine happened a year ago last January. It was 4 a.m. We were sleeping in the basement because it was hot out. And the air conditioner we had in our upstairs bedroom, it was just loud. And so we thought, let's just sleep in the basement where it's nice and cool. It'd be lovely, right? So we go to sleep. Everything's fine. 4 a.m. And when I'm sleeping, I don't like to wake up. So I'm like, whatever, you know. And I hear this person yelling, and I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. It's 4 a.m, like, screw off. So I'm stomping up the stairs, like, yelling at them because I'm going, I think it's some drunk dude who thinks my house is their house. And so now he's like, why isn't my key working? It happened before, but whatever. So I'm mad, you know, it's 4 a.m, so I'm, you know, just woke up, stomping up the stairs. And as I get to the top of the stairs and I'm yelling at the person on the other side of the door, out of the corner of my eye, I see the back of my house, and we had French doors in the back door. And I look out the French doors and all I see is a wall of flames. I'm like, holy, okay, I swore a lot, so just fill in the swears, so I won't do them to you guys. I run out the back door, open the thing. The deck is on fire, the back of the house is on fire, and there's fire shooting off the first story roof about 4 feet. And I remember my brain just going, I don't even know what to do right now. And so I was like, oh, I have a fire extinguisher in the garage. That should solve the problem, right? But literally, it was like, oh, I'll grab the fire extinguisher there, look at the flyer again. I'm like, yeah, no. We got to get out now. 4 a.m, we're sitting outside with basically nothing. My next-door neighbors lent me their kids' flip-flops. And this is what we watched. Oh. Even looking at that kind of hits me hard. We sat across the street on the sidewalk and watched our house burn down. And I remember we just kept saying, like, this is surreal. What do we even do with this? Now that's our story of chaos. And that story started there and went to police statements. The fire department and everyone in the emergency services were amazing. They were so incredible to us. That fire took out my neighbor's house. Part of the next door neighbor's house, the neighbor on the other side took off their siding. But it went from, let's go sleep in the basement because it's cool, to, we don't have anything anymore. And I don't know what to do with that. It's chaos, isn't it? And yeah, my chaos looks like that. But we have it. Every one of us has it. You come home, open your garage, and your kid's drug paraphernalia is still stuck in the corner, and you're going, what? You spend your entire life getting ready to go to a certain program in school. Everything you've done is to get you there. And then you get the letter that says, oh, by the way, you're not accepted. And in some senses, you're sitting on that sidewalk watching your life burn down, going, what the hell do I do now? We all have chaos. I'd love to be able to sit up here and say, oh, by the way, you're never going to have chaos. It's just not the way it is. We will all have chaos. The question is, what can we do when chaos hits our lives? What do we do? And the more important question, because again, if us switching the chairs a little bit and not making them perfectly straight is enough to make you lose your mind, you probably need some skills to deal with chaos, right? I'm not going to point at anybody, but you know who you are. So what skills can we learn to help us manage the chaos that will happen? As a side note, if you're ever sitting on your sidewalk watching your house burn down, there's three phone calls you need to make. First, 911, right? Fire department. Number two, your insurance company. Number three, call me. I've now navigated this whole thing. I will walk you through the whole thing because the next however many months of your life, they are going to be asking you questions that you don't know the answers to that represent tens of thousands of dollars of your life. And you have no ability to answer them. So call me, okay? Seriously. So how do we gain the skills we need to do to deal with chaos? We can just buckle down and kind of go like, I'll get through this. But what if there's actually ways to do this better? What if there's ways that we can move through chaos smoother? To have it last as short of a time as possible. Wouldn't that be nice? That's what I want to talk about today. And I want to talk about it by telling you a story from the Bible. Because I think the Bible was thinking about chaos long before I was even born. And the story we've been talking about is the story of the nation of Israel. Now, Jeff talked a bit about it. Tom talked a bit about it. The overview is this. The story reads that they're slaves in Egypt. Then they go out from Egypt into the wilderness. And they go from the wilderness into this like area that they call the Promised Land, which is just kind of a code word for an awesome place. So you're in a crappy place, you're in a crappier place, awesome place. And the question is, how do they deal with the chaos of all these moves? How do they deal with the chaos of the stuff that they experience along the way? And that's where the gold of the story is, I think. Now, Jeff talked a bit about the first week. He talked a bit about mentors. Yeah, I'll be your insurance, fire insurance mentor. So again, if you have a fire, call me. I'll walk you through it. It's all good. Find the mentors in your life who know something about this, know how to walk through this, have been there before. An incredible way to deal with chaos. Find professionals who train to do these things, who understand your psyche better than you do. Find those people. Tom, last week, talked about his triangle, Cartman's drama triangle. What an incredible thing, right? We start at victim, then we go to persecutor, then we go to rescuer, then we go back to victim, and we just bing ourselves around this like pinball of craziness. And he said, if we're conscious, though, of what we're doing, we can shift our behavior. And that got me thinking and going, how come we're not conscious? Why are we stuck in these things that aren't working? And that's what I'm talking about today, so that we can learn to not get stuck in this. So the people of Israel are sitting there. They're in hell. Promised Land's across the street, and they send people over to go check out the Promised Land. They come back, and here's what they say. There's giants in the land. Crap. Now, to put it into kind of everyday parlance, think of this. You're sitting across the street from your house that you want to move into. It's a lovely house, you know, homey, nice. You can go bake some muffins or whatever you're into. But there's giants living in your house. So you're sitting across the street looking at your house, at all the things that house represents. Home, family, safety, comfort. But there's a bunch of giants living there and they don't seem to want to leave. What exactly do you do? It's not what they plan to do, right? I didn't go to bed at 4 o'clock or that morning, that night, thinking that at 4 o'clock in the morning, my house would be on fire. I hadn't planned that. Wasn't really what I was thinking was going to happen that day. Isn't that the thing with chaos? It kind of comes out of nowhere. So you're looking at this house going, oh, wouldn't this house be incredible? We'll move right in. Our whole nation will be comfortable and safe and calm. What are the giants doing there? And they realize they hit chaos. Suddenly they realize that home was never going to be home the way they understood it, or at least it isn't now. There's some serious work they're going to have to do to make this into home. And it's scary. I like the language. They just call them giants. Isn't that enough of a description? Like, yeah, you're going to lose to giants. That's how that works. So what do? Now, it's interesting as we look at chaos. I just want to define it a little bit more carefully. The chaos, we can talk about a lot of chaos. You know, there's relationship chaos, there's all these different kind of chaos. But the chaos I want to talk about today is the chaos that kind of thrusts us into a moment we don't want to be. It's the part where you're, you know, have this amazing first few dates with somebody, and then all of a sudden they call you and say, yeah, it's not going to work out. You're already opening your heart to them, thinking, oh, this is going to be so good, and maybe I can find connection and love. And suddenly you're sitting there going, I'm going to be alone forever. That's chaos, isn't it? Chaos is going to the doctor for a regular appointment just to check something out. And they say, oh, get some blood work. And then you get the call saying, we need to see you immediately. And you find out that there's something seriously wrong with you. It's chaos. It's wanting kids your whole life, always wanting kids, and then sitting across from your fertility doctor and they're going, yeah, you're never going to be able to have kids. And suddenly you're in a place you do not want to be. There's nothing in you that wants to be in that conversation right there. That's the kind of chaos we're talking about today. That's the kind of chaos the nation of Israel is in. They're looking across the street at the exact place that they want to go, the place that will be so amazing. But because of nothing they did themselves, there's giants living there, and they're not going to move in. So what can we learn from them? Here's the interesting thing. The nation of Israel, they end up sitting outside their house for years, just watching the giants. In fact, they stayed outside of the house waiting because they didn't want to deal with the giants. They sat outside their house till an entire generation died off. They just sat there waiting. They didn't know what to do. They were like me sitting, watching my house burn down, going, I don't even know what to do right now. Now, here's why. There's this idea in kind of brain psychology. There's this metaphor that says we have two brains. One of them, they call it the fast brain. Can everyone, if you're open to it, if you have a coffee, just take a sip right now. Delicious, isn't it? Did you think about the position of your wrist as it relates to your forearm while you're doing that? Did you think about how your shoulder needs to articulate while you do that? It's a pretty complex move, right? It has to come up, pour at the right time, not too much, burn your mouth, not too little, you don't get anything right. It's got to stay normal, right? You can't have it tipping over. There's a lot going on, and yet you guys just all did this, bam. Delicious. Your brain says, I want some coffee. And your body makes it happen. That's your fast brain. It knows huge components of your life, and it does it all automatically. When you drive to work, you don't even remember how you got there. That's your fast brain. me walking. I'm not thinking about walking. I'm just walking. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go over there. And my body just makes me go over here, right? Fast brain. When I said or met you guys, I said, hey, how's it going? You said, fine. Fast brain. Did you think about how your life's going right now? No, the answer's fine. I say, how you doing? You say, fine. Fast brain. Couples or families, have you ever had the same fight over and over with somebody? That's your fast brain just doing what it's doing, right? They say that thing that really makes you angry. You respond with the thing that makes them angry, and then you're off to the races. And your fast brain, like drinking a coffee, will take you all the way to the end of that fight without even thinking about it. The fast brain is an amazing component of our lives. When you want to do something over and over and over again without thinking about it, that's your fast brain. I just see someone writing here. Writing, really complex move, right? Fast brain stuff. Fast brain is amazing because it takes almost no energy, takes almost no thought, and it just does this whole series of things that it understands what to do without you having to deal with it. But here's the problem. The fast brain, pardon my French, but it is shit at new things. Horrible. If I told you to take a drink of your coffee, but just before you do it, I want you to flip the bottle like, you know, a bartender does, catch it in your hand, and then take a sip. That is not fast brain work. Suddenly you're all going to be overthinking it and like, oh, geez, it's going to spill. So here's the deal. I could live my whole life. I knew how to go to sleep. I knew how to walk around. I knew how to do everything. But when I'm sitting outside of my house watching my house burn down, my fast brain has no programming to deal with that. None. The nation of Israel is sitting outside of the house, the place they want to go so bad, and there's giants living there, and their fast brain has no understanding how to deal with that. The moments of chaos in your life are by definition moments that your fast brain does not know what to do with. That's why we call them chaos. And so suddenly, the part of your brain that runs most of your life has no value to you. You see why you're bouncing through Cartman's triangle? Your fast brain's like, hey, let's go on the triangle. And it just bounces you around that triangle over and over again. It's not helping you at all. But it's all your fast brain knows what to do. It's drinking the coffee, right? Oh, let's just do the only thing we know what to do. Boop, boop, boop. But it totally screws you up. So how much of your life in this these chaotic moments do you think is your fast brain not knowing what to do? Doing the same maladaptive behavior you've always done that doesn't work at all. Right? You feel a strong emotion. Ooh, I don't like that feeling. What does your fast brain say? Ignore it. Perfect. Or shove it down. We'll go do something else. We'll ignore it. And you do that over and over again until you're like so full of bad emotions that anything happens, that emotional fart will take you out. It's just your fast brain knowing what to do. Your partner pulls away from you a little bit. What are you doing? It's your fast brain. Your partner raises your voice. You go like this. It's your fast brain. And you're off to the same old fight you always had. Your fast brain is not your friend in chaos. It's an incredible part of your life, but if you live in your fast brain or try and live in your fast brain or even want to live in your fast brain when you're in chaos, you're screwed. Nation of Israel sitting there, looking across the street going, I got nothing. And instead of making a shift, instead of doing something different that we're going to talk about, what they do is they just do nothing. They just wait. And they live in chaos for an entire generation. How many of us right now are living in chaos that probably we could move through? Don't raise your hands, it's okay. How many of us are trying to do the same thing over and over again that we know is not going to solve the problem? There's nothing in our brain that understands how to deal with this new situation. And yet we're stuck in chaos because we think our fast brain's going to solve it. It will not. So I'm sitting reading the Bible, the story of Deuteronomy. And if you read the story kind of a little less metaphoric than I've said it, it really goes like this. In their minds, they made God angry. That's why there's giants over there. And so God's response to that is, I'm going to kill off an entire generation because I don't really like you guys. Your face right there? Exactly. When I read it, I was like, what am I supposed to do with that? Right? Okay, today I'm going to tell you that there's a God out there that whenever you do something mad, he's going to kill you off. End of story. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the snow. So I kept looking at the story going, I don't know what to do with it. I push it off on my desk. A couple of days later, I bring it back and look at it and be like, yeah, I got nothing. Push it off again. I was listening to a lecture of a guy who's doing a psychological reading of the Old Testament stories. Instead of saying, did this happen? Does this tell us something about God? He said, no. That's not the questions we're asking. What does this say about us as human beings? Suddenly I was like, that story makes sense. Suddenly, instead of looking at this thing as, this is what God does when you're mad or when he's mad at you, I put that reading away and went, wait a second, what about me? What if I am the nation of Israel? What if you are the nation of Israel? And you just have this moment of chaos. There's giants in your house, whatever that means to you, sickness, you know, whatever problems going on in your life that you don't expect. Vince doesn't set the rows all straight on Sunday. Oh! You're in chaos. What if that chaos, what if what's going on for them is actually an insight about us? It's just written in story form. Because until we are willing to let part of us that's holding us in chaos, the part that doesn't want to deal with it, the part that wants our lives just to stay the same, until that part dies off, we will never deal with chaos in a new way. We'll never move through what we need to move through in order to process the chaos. Because the next generation, they had to go deal with the giants. It didn't go away. They didn't outweigh chaos. Does that ever work? Something bad's happening. I'm just going to hunker down and hope that it goes away. It doesn't. I'm sitting with my dad. Sorry, not sitting. We're talking. Just after my mom died. Now, my dad, bless his soul, had been married for almost 50 years, 49 years. I think they dated for a couple years before that. He moved from his mom's house into his married house. He'd never lived alone a day in his life. Suddenly now, in high 70s, I think he was 78 or 77, somewhere in there, he's suddenly alone. And he's not liking it. Chaos, right? And I remember calling him and he's just like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't be alone, Vince. I can't. He's looking at that house full of giants and going, I can't. His fast brain's saying, everything that we know what to do, nothing's going to work. Nothing. I remember him saying, it was probably a year later, and you know, I was worried about him, like, geez, I don't know if he's going to make it. I kept saying things like, hey, Dad, this is your new normal. It's going to be okay. It's not the same as it's going to be. It's normal. One day he calls me up and he says, Vince, I think I'm ready for the new normal. What is he saying there? So here's a, you have your fast brain. There's another part of your brain. It's called the metaphor is a slow brain. Where your fast brain is really, really efficient. It can do all kinds of things without you thinking about it. Your slow brain is completely useless at doing those kinds of things. It takes an incredible amount of energy. Even to just fire that sucker up, you're going to feel tired. It is drinking through sugar in your body like you do not believe. There's a reason why your body does not want you to use this. Because it's wasting a ton of energy. But here's the thing. It's almost like it's designed to deal with chaos. It's designed to deal with new and novel situations. My dad went from, I have been with another person my entire life, to I'm alone. And all of a sudden his slow brain kicked in and went, well, what could my life look like now? His slow brain started to engage and look at his life in a new way. That's what your slow brain does. It's creative. It comes up with new solutions. When our musicians write songs, that's where it's coming from. I didn't ask you, but I'm guessing if you guys would, writing a song is probably not a super easy thing. It's probably pretty draining. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of work, right? That's your slow brain. The next generation after the generation that died waiting for the giants to leave their house, they clicked in with their slow brain and went, wait a second, how are we going to get these guys out of there? And then they did. How often in moments of chaos do we find ourselves going through the fast brain, running through that triangle, doing the same thing, avoiding whatever our fast brain is used to doing? How often do we get stuck there? And how often do you consciously move into your slow brain and say, wait a second, how else could I deal with this chaos? What do I need to move? What do I need to shift? And in the metaphor of this message, what needs to die inside of me so I can process this chaos in a healthy way? There's this whole theme of things dying off in us to create healthy lives. Jesus, when I started to read this story in this new way, and I started to look through the whole text, I realized this is not a new thing. I'm just a little bit slow, and I only saw it recently. How often does Jesus say things like, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Another way to translate that, anyone would come after me, let part of them die so they can live in a new way. So the question I want to ask today is, what part of us needs to die so we can live in a new way? What part of us needs to die so we can move on from the chaos that our fast brain is keeping us stuck inside? It's a sobering question, isn't it? When the chaos happens, I like to push hard. That's my fast brain. When you're dealing with an insurance company and the legal system and conversations and questions that you've never dealt with after a house fire, pushing does not work. You don't even know what you're pushing for. You're randomly pushing in random directions, hoping that it'll work out. I remember for a long time, it just kept wearing on me. You know, guys know me. I'm not a very depressed person. It was getting to me. Every time I made a decision, it was like, oh, that just cost. Every time someone asked me to make a decision, I'd be going, I don't even know what you're asking me. And I now have to make a decision that's going to impact the rest of my life. That part of it that needed control inside of me, that wanted to take control of the situation and force it to the direction I wanted to go, that part, that's my fast brain. It was holding me in chaos. It had to die. Not because there's something wrong with me, but because that behavior kept me locked in chaos. Just like the nation of Israel, their avoidance, right? Ah, giants! Turtle. How many of us are turtling in our lives right now? Partner's angry at us. Kids push. Something at work happens, and our first reaction is to do this. It's not working. That chaos can outlast you. And instead of going to do the work to say, okay, no. I need to have that conversation with that person. I just need to be honest. And what if our avoidance is the thing that's holding us in chaos? And what if that behavior needs to die? What if our expectations are the thing that needs to die? At this point in my life, I thought I'd be here. I thought I'd have this. I thought I'd be doing that. And then something happened, and where I am and where I thought I was going to be, not even connected. We're in chaos, right? What if our expectations are the things that needs to die? We were talking in our programming meeting. Alessandra brought up this amazing point. How many of us have had our spirituality, moments of spiritual chaos? For people who grew up in a spiritual community, you know, everything was going fine until whatever happened and it broke. And suddenly you're in chaos. I stopped believing this. This thing in my life doesn't fit with what I believe anymore. Suddenly I'm going over here. What if holding on to what we understand, to what we're familiar with, to the status quo, what if that needs to die? So today, in the spirit of the nation of Israel, in so much of Jesus' teaching now as I read it, what in each of us needs to die in order for us to get out of the chaos that we're stuck in? What inside of you needs to change, needs to grow, needs to morph? Where do you need to take your fast brain and go, okay, yeah, you're really good for drinking coffee. Thank you. Appreciate that. But you're not good over here at all. I need to think creatively. I need to think new thoughts. I need to come up with new ways of processing this information. There's giants living in my house, and you're not helpful with that situation. Can you feel when you shift from your fast brain to your slow brain? Can you feel the resistance in you to be like, no, I don't want to do that? Can you feel the resistance in taking that thing that you always do that's not helpful at all, but you always do it, and just letting that part die off so you can try to live a new way? If coming in here and having the chairs turned is enough to throw you off, you're living in a lot of chaos. And chances are your skill set, like my skill set, is lacking. But there's no way we can gain a new skill set unless we let go of what the fast brain wants us to do and think of this in a new way. And folks, I want you guys to start doing things in a new way. Stop doing the things that are holding you in chaos. Like Jesus says, die to yourself. Let that part of you die that's holding you in chaos so that we can be free. So that our lives can have meaning. We're not spending all of our time and energy just dealing with chaos. We actually have capacity to do more in our lives, like our next series is going to talk about. That's our wish for you today. So reach out. Use Jeff's. Find a mentor. Find someone who's been on your journey before. Find someone who can look into your life and say, yeah, that's your fast brain. Stop doing that. Let that part die off. Let's try something new. See a counselor. Call me or Jeff. I'll put my email up there. Send me an email. I'd love to chat with you about it. Because if we don't do this, we're going to be stuck in chaos until an entire generation dies off. And I think that's horrific. So I'm going to take a deep breath with me. May today be the day that we shift from the way we always done it, that isn't working, to trying a new way of looking at the world so that we can get out of the chaos we're in. Amen? Have a great week, everyone. See you next week. Jeff's message is going to be fantastic. It's the last of this series. It's going to be good. Have a great week.